It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
And welcome in to another edition of Spits and Suds as the playoffs move along. Two games apiece. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. We have a series, so of course we want to speak to the man that we're referring to as Nostra Ludwig, who said this is what the Stars need to do, and what do you know, they did it. And the series is tied at two. He's 17-year NHL vet, two-time Stanley Cup champion. He's our very own Craig Ludwig. Yeah!
Back in it.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks to you, man. I'm so glad your message got into the room.
I was sitting at a bar with a beer in my hand. Trust me, it had nothing to do with me. It reflects on what their regular season's been, right? They've been... What they were the best team, if not the best, second best on the year playing on the road. So, it's, and again, I go back in the day and we had a similar group. You know, we were very comfortable going on the road and guys got along and they go into a tough environment. They pretty much, the first thing you have to do is try to take the crowd out of it. And, I know they got their Vegas show going on there. So tons of credit to those guys. They made a couple of little adjustments. And I just think that the adjustment that they made is there was a little bit more direct. There was more of a direct line to the front of the net. And look at how they're scoring. I mean, they're not all highlight real goals. I mean, look at Delandria's goal the other night. And then that's just it's a direct result of having the intent of getting in front of the goaltender and getting there and bringing a couple more bodies there, because when you go there, that means that there's got to be another defenseman or a defenseman or forward that may follow you there. And next thing you know, your goaltender scrambling to look around. So both goaltenders have been good. I think you can really see the difference. Like Jake is just right now, he's, you know, that first one, I don't think, you know, you don't like to see that one squeak through him, but he's just, there's no panic in his game. You know, right. The other guy is really active and I give a ton of credit to, and they all do this, but I think they did a lot of pre-scouting and they watched a lot of tape on Thompson. And there's no question where the hole is. And when he gets down and there's a scramble from behind the net, he likes to be on his knees and he pushes from one side to the other and he takes away the bottom of the ice on the short side. But what's that doing? And, you know, it's leaving... Everybody's shooting at his head because that's where the hole is. I mean, you saw Dodonov get a goal like that. Wyatt's got a goal. You know, again, that's where they're going. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with their goaltender. I don't think they have anybody else they're going to put in, but does he make an adjustment? Do they say, hey, here's where they're targeting? And, you know, there's been a couple of goalies in the last couple of years on other teams where you'll hear them say, he's got a bad glove hand. The other teams are picking on the glove hand. Well, if there's a weak spot, then that's what you try to expose that. So, again, that's part of getting into a goaltender's head. So now if he tries to play a little more upright, is he going to leave his five hole open? Because five hole is open right now too. So it's just the way he plays. But anyway, those are all the little details those guys are going to be looking at.
Speaking of details, our own Sean Shapiro brought up that he's the rare, Logan Thompson is the rare left-handed goalie in the NHL. I think there's four or five of them. So the Stars are going high blocker side, and that's where Wyatt Johnston scored the overtime goal. And you saw what happened last night, as Craig pointed out, and So properly pointed out, going straight lines and also getting in front of the net. I did want to start with, from a player's perspective, kind of a scary situation in the warmups where Chris Tanev gets hit with a Jake Oettinger save, clips him in the face, gets patched up, luckily ready for game time, because we all know with the minutes that Nils Lundqvist is logging, about a minute and a half last night, and we'll get to that. But did you wear a helmet during warmups?
No.
Okay.
We it's funny. There was, when it comes to that, when we got to Dallas here, we did have a few guys that were wearing helmets, very few. And I get a note in my stall one day, and this is, you know, Bob Gainey had a way of, his way of doing things, and I'll never forget it. And there was a little stick-it things or whatever.
Post-it note. Yep.
Post-it. All you business people do that shit. I know. But I had one. I got in, and it was the morning skate. Got off the ice, and there was a little thing sticking in my stall. And I pulled it down, and I looked at it, and boy, always had good handwriting. And I didn't know who it was from, but it was good handing. And all it said is, how about a little player solidarity? And then in parentheses, it said helmet. And I looked at it, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, little solidarity. I had to Google that word. And, well, not Google. I don't know if we had Google then. But so I kind of looked around. I thought it was a joke. And then I looked at it again. And what he was saying was, let's get everybody not to wear helmets to warm up. And I think where that comes from, how many times we've heard it, people come up to you and, oh, man, I didn't even recognize it's you without your helmet on. You know, all we see is you guys with your helmets on all the time. And I really do think that it had to do with marketing, that where he was trying to get the people from Dallas that were going to be our fans to get to know what the guys look like on and off the ice. You go back in the day, I think it was 79 was the last year that you come in and not wear a helmet. So if you had played prior to 79, you were kind of grandfathered in. So, you know, in the 70s and back, very rarely did they wear helmets anyways. So that's the kind of era Bob Gainey was in. But I do think it had a lot to do with marketing. So, yeah, and there's guys that always get dinged at one time or another, but it didn't really bother us. So, yeah, it's. But I guarantee you, he was awake for the first shift of the game.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. I mean, Sean Shapiro was saying that he's talked to Bill Zito, the Florida Panthers GM, who makes it a requirement that they wear helmets now.
Well, I think they're going to try to put that in as mandatory. I think it's, which everything has to go through the Players Association. They have to agree to it. But do you really blame them? I mean, because when the owners, the GMs are saying, hey, you know, these are our big players. You know, we're paying these guys a lot of money to play games, and we don't want them, you know, missing a game because of, you know, something like that that can well be. And again, they've all grown up now. With helmets and everything, there's very few guys, I think, that don't wear a helmet now. So there's very few, but I just think they're used to wearing, you know, they're all used to wearing the shields and, you know, everything else. So it's things that would drive us nuts if we have to do it. But yeah, I can understand why, though. You know, again, they want to make sure that their players are on the ice. Yeah. When the buzzer goes off for the opening period, I
mean, inches from the eye. So scary yep. to see. Is it a freedom thing similar to like a motorcycle?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know what, though? It's kind of a cool thing, too. You know what I mean? Like, they always talk about hockey hair and, you know, the mullets and all that kind of stuff and let the flow. I'll tell you what, you wouldn't believe how many guys, I was surprised at how many guys before warm-up, they'd be in the bathroom combing their hair and putting gel in it and all this kind of stuff.
Look good for the ladies.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, when we have our Spits and Suds motorcycle tour, and we're in the same motorcycle together, I probably will be wearing a helmet, just to let you know.
That day will never happen. I thought we were going to talk about when we have our Spits and Suds watching party.
That's right.
I thought that's where you're going.
No, that's right. We need to do it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. 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 Oh, well, I thought we were going to do like a motorcycle where we get one of those sidecars.
Yeah. No, we are not going to do that. Maybe you and some other person is, but not you and me.
All right. Wyatt Johnston.
That's a bad visual.
Wyatt Johnston, is there anything more that we can say? And can you remember a player back in your days that had this kind of composure and just comes up big in big moments and rarely makes a mistake?
Yeah. You know, Matt Snazlin. I always go back to Patrick Waugh. You know, but Matt Snazlin came on the scene in Montreal, little small forward, skilled guy. Nothing ever bothered him. Just lives for the big moments and approached it the same way it seems like Wyatt does. Like, it's just, yeah, that's kind of what I do. I score these goals. I mean, yeah, he gets excited, you know, when there's a big goal, but for the most part, there's no showboating. That's what I like about Wyatt. And so, I mean, for a guy that is in Vegas right now and can't legally go into the casino and have a beer, I don't, you know, how he does it.
What about Yuri Lehtinen?
Yeah, well, let's just get different. I look, they're different players.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Letts did everything. I mean, he was a Selke guy. I mean, so he was as good defensively as he was offensively. I don't think Letts ever really got enough credit for as good as he was offense. And they were usually big goals, but very just nothing, no emotion. You know, rarely you'd get a smile. but, you know, just an unbelievably well-rounded player Letts was. I don't think he scored big goals, but I mean, Wyatt at 19, 20 years old. And again, Letts was in the gym all the time. And he was very, very regimented about his body and working out and being, I would say that if there was ever any kind of a negative thing about Letts was that if he wasn't as close to 100% as he felt in his mind, he may not play the game. It had nothing to do with him not battling through certain things, but he made sure he was in the best shape he could be. And he worked out and he had his own Finnish way of doing, you know, whatever their philosophy is, very regimented and taking care of his body. And they all do that now, but he was put together well, and he still is to this day. He's just one of those kind of guys. So, you know, and again, Wyatt, I don't know why it isn't even done growing yet, you know? So, but it goes back to hockey sense. I look at that goal that he scored last night and there's a pile off to the right of the goaltender to Wyatt's left. And there's like 3-4 guys in there and he just backs out. He slides back and he gets out, he finds a pocket and the puck gets there. And then he just puts it upstairs again. And he, you know, again, it's the hockey sense that he has and playing with his stature, and some may say lack of it, but I would never refer it to that. Like, he knows I'm not going to jump into a pile and, you know, be around, you know, again, look at their defensemen, look at how big they are, but he gets in there, but then there's a little scramble going on and he's got that quick sense that says, well, if I get the puck here, there's not really anything I can do with it. So I'm just going to back out a foot. And there it is. You know, some people, you know, they just have that nose where to be at the right moment. And that's the way it's going for Wyatt right now.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Yeah, the other one is Logan Stankoven, and it's just amazing seeing these youngsters and how they're just, like, relentless. Like, Stankoven took some hits last night, Luds, and, you know, pop right back up, and, boy, that water bug mentality and just, you know, so gritty, and he really gets in there. He's just, as you've pointed out throughout the year, he's one of those players, one of those guys you just don't want to play as a defenseman.
He should have his face on a pinball machine. That's what he reminds me of.
Absolutely.
He reminds me of a pinball. He goes in and he hits a bumper and he bounces off and he goes through, he gets up. like when McNabb hit him, and I was going to say that to me, it's not a turning point, but it was a statement
yep.
early on in the game. And when McNabb hit him and he bounced right up, he popped right up. But within a couple seconds later, McNabb was on the receiving end and it was Jamie again. And it was a legal hit, but that was an answer to a statement. It was the crowd couldn't really even get to the point where they were going to give McNabb a standing ovation for that opening hit that he was laying on his back right away. And it was like, oh, we're going to get, oh, no, we're going to sit back down because that was even better than the hit
yeah.
on Stankoven. So, yeah. I mean, I just thought it was an opening moment where the captain does it a lot, but the captain said, nope, not tonight. You know, we're taking you. And that's always talk when you're on the road, regardless of where you are. Vegas is obviously one of the best in the league as far as what they do and their building is, you know, weather the storm. And get through those first 5 minutes, get them sat down, don't give them anything to cheer about. And you know, and that big hit did is exactly what they wanted for a start. But then as they're standing up, Jamie Benn gets them all to sit right back down. Important moment for me.
Do you think he went in for the hit? Just you speaking. Do you think he went in for the hit to respond?
He went in. I guarantee him? You. He saw it. He saw Stankoven obviously get hit.
Yep.
He went in there to, he was going to go in there
regardless.
And I think he was just going to, he wouldn't go in there to take a penalty. He did this last year against his team, right? When it came to Stone, that sits in Jamie's mind, I believe. So he was going to go in there, just let him know I'm here. I'll get you when, and it just so happened, the puck came back to McNabb and Jamie just kept right on going.
Yeah.
I think if that puck wouldn't have come to McNabb, I think he would have gone in there. He'd have given him a bump. He'd have looked him down, up and down, and then he'd have moved on. And there may have been a fight if McNabb would have wanted to fight. Jamie, that would have happened, but it didn't have to happen because, unfortunately for McNabb, he had the puck. And it was just, I mean, they're both clean hits. They're both great hits.
Yeah, it was. I mean, from a hockey sense, pretty to watch as far yeah. as, you yeah. know, McNabb
it's
trying
a play,
to set the
playoff
tone.
Hockey right
Absolutely.
There, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That's and kudos. I mean, ESPN is getting you know, big numbers now, and the Stars Vegas series is drawing really good numbers. So that's kudos. And we finally get a 6:30 game, and that's fascinating in itself. Wanted to talk about as far as like clearly they improved as far as getting to Logan Thompson and getting in front of the net. And like you said, more of a straight line situation. But one of the things that Vegas has been effective in is when they get on that odd man rush. And when they get rushed, especially with Eichel kind of being that point person, how do you slow that down?
Well, like, I don't know if you're, I mean, Eichel's a great player. I didn't realize how good he was when he was in Buffalo, probably because of the supporting cast that he didn't have. when he wants to take the game over, he can take the game over. But like that first goal that was scored at that Eichel goal, like, I didn't like the way Miro played the 3-on-2, and it was really a 3.5. When they came across the center line, their fourth player up the ice was ahead of the Dallas back checkers. But what happened is then it's a clear 3-on-2 when it hits Dallas's own blue line. Puck carrier is off to Miro's right on coming down the wall, and Miro makes a move as soon as he comes over, and he really opens up. He turns it from a 3-on-2 into a 2-on-1. And say if he holds his ice a little bit longer for me, it allows our third guy coming back to pick somebody up. You're kind of buying time. You keep the puck on the with the guy on the wall. But as soon as Miro goes, Eichel gets the puck. I mean, it comes right back. And that turns it in, you know, goes across. And then Thomas, I think he could have tried to, you know, keep it to the outside. Anyway. And it just turned a 3-on-2 into a 2-on-1. And then Eichel just follows it up and, you know, puts it in the net. So it's good execution on their part. But for me, those are the little details of the 3-on-2 stuff that, or any outnumbered rush. I would like to see, you know, you always have, when there's an outnumbered rush coming across your blue line, your job as defenseman or whoever's back there, hopefully it's both defensemen, which we're seeing that a lot more in this, at least in the playoffs, there's more they're hanging around the net a little bit more. You're not finding Dallas defensemen outside the top of the circle. So I think that maybe a little bit adjustment they made. But anyway, your job is buy a little time, keep the puck on the wall. 3-on-2 numbers for a defenseman playing against it, it's really a 3-on-3 because your goalie counts. And you keep the puck on the wall, I guarantee you Jake would rather see that puck coming down the wall from the tops of the circles coming out of him versus getting to the middle of the ice. But and then it also allows your third guy that's coming back, that's back checking, to get into the play and pick up their higher guy that he can catch. And then hopefully you turn into a 2-on-2 at that point that, you know, somehow turns into a 3-on-3 and then 2-on-2. So that's why I think when you move too quick as a defenseman, you just gave the percentages back to the offensive team at that moment.
One of the things that kind of flipped the script last night was the block shots. Dallas with 24, Vegas with 14. Vegas is known as far as getting their sticks in the way and blocking shots. And Roope Hintz with a big block to end the game, and he was trying to shake it off. Can you take our listeners through the feeling as far as when that puck hits? Is it, and I'm not trying to make light of this, Luds. What I'm trying to do is basically take our listeners inside in every aspect possible, and that's why we love having you on the air. Is it like a very, very bad, like when you hit your leg against something? I mean, how long after the game, or does it, you know, does the pain subside, or is it something you wake up in the morning and you have a major bruise? Or tell us, you know, when you block a shot and it gets through as far as hitting your body, you know, how long does it stay with you?
As long as you allow your mind to let it stay with you.
Interesting.
I mean, I had a coach, and he's a legend Hall of Famer, Al Arbor, won 4 Stanley Cups with the New York Islanders. And when any time that I would have gotten hit with a puck, and you know, I mean, players know, you know, that are your teammates and the opposing team, you can hear it. You can hear when it hits a pad, and when you don't hear anything, you know, it didn't hit a pad. And it hurts. And yeah, and luckily I've never been hit with a bullet, but I can imagine. I don't know what that feeling is like, but it feels like, you know, like it's like a whip hits you. And it depends on where you get hit. You know, there are certain areas that you don't have protection, and players don't want to go out there like robots where they're covered up in gear. They want to have freedom and be able to move. And, you know, my shoulder pads, I didn't have pads. I just took the caps off, and then you'd take Velcro, put Velcro on your shirt, your t-shirt, and then put it on the inside of the cap. And then, you know, you put caps on, and, you know, and you cut your pants. Your pants are like armor. And so I would just cut all the pads out of them, except the shells in front. And, you know, because again, it's just certain things guys like it. Other players will, like Claude Lemieux, for instance. He looked like an armadillo, and guys would be cross-checking him in the middle of the back all the time, and he didn't care. He had extra pads on his shoulder, or on his shoulder pads hanging down on the back. So I think that the padding is kind of how the player feels comfortable. But what Rades was, what Al Arbor would always say, you'd come back to the bench, you go, it only hurts for a little while. It'll go away in a little bit. And it does. It's a mental thing. You got to let it go. And I think it really, it's up to the individual player. I mean, some guys just have a higher pain threshold than other guys. And the guys that are getting hit a lot, like Tanev gets hit a lot. He puts himself, you know, we kind of put ourselves in harm's way, but we're used to getting hit. I still got a bruise on the inside of my leg, just above my knee from 2 weeks ago. And, you know, getting hit from a puck. So yeah, and they last, but again, it's part of the job. You know, and what I like about when you say Roope Hintz is that when those players block shots, it means more to the team than when Tanev gets hit with one or Essa gets hit with one, because they do it all the time. So you have to come outside your comfort zone in the playoffs. Regular season is one thing, but in the playoffs, there's a bigger prize at the end. And so when you come outside your comfort zone, it goes a long way to the rest of the players. It'd be very similar if Jamie Benn, let's just say McNabb in game 4 or game 5 now, gets a good hit on Jamie. Jamie gets hit, Jamie goes down, and if Robertson steps in, or, you know, Hintz steps in, that's a statement. That's a statement to the other team. And McNabb isn't going to fight Robo. He's not going to probably fight Hintz. But it's the fact that you guys, it's a group. This is it's all of us. You're going to hit him. You got to hit all of us. So those are the teams that you'll find will be in the Final Four are the ones that pay the price for their own teammates and guys that step outside of what they would normally do, because you know that they're playing harder for the group. It's not about me. It's not about, you know, because you'll see Vegas there, Marchessault, he gets involved in those things because this is the time of the year. That group there, you know, you would think that, I mean, you would right now, you'd have to say Dallas has got the edge, right? And if you're Vegas, you're like, we've been through this last year, you know? So that's what the winning thing kind of comes along. But anytime you see any player do something that, you know, you wouldn't normally see them do in the prior 82 games of the year, it all has an effect. And you know, again, it's all 23 of us. It's even the three guys that aren't playing that night. It matters. And so that's the biggest part of the block shots by the guys that don't typically do it.
All right. Take us in the defensive room, because you're looking at the minutes from last night's game. Haskinen with 28-30, and that's followed by Harley at 23-21, Tanev at 22-04, Lindell at 21-36, Suter with 18-39. And then you have
don't Mills. Like it. I'll tell you right now, I don't like it.
So you now, don't like don't, the, what's happening?
Here's why I don't like it. Because, and it's going to be hard to go through the playoffs with playing five defensemen. Typically you're going to go through eight or nine defensemen during the course of the playoffs if you're getting to the finals. I mean, there's just things that happen. I mean, it's a blessing, you know, if guys can stay healthy. You know, our group, I think in Dallas, year that we won here, we may have used seven or eight. So, but it was a blessing. Guys, we had a group of guys that wouldn't admit that anybody was hurt. And so, but typically there's going to be injuries. You're going to play. This is a war that goes on. So what I don't like about it is having to play five guys every night. Now, obviously what that is, and we're talking about Nils right now, is he played 10 minutes in game one, Dallas loses. He plays 7.5 minutes in game two, Dallas loses. He plays 2 minutes in game three, Dallas wins. And 1 minute, as you said, Dallas wins. And you can't, and the reason that he played the 7 and the 10 at home and only the 3 minutes total on the road is Vegas has got the last change. So Dallas is, they're a little more concerned about who they're going to put against Nils on the ice. And so when he gets back home tomorrow night, and now there's a faceoff coming up, they got to send their guys out. They're like, okay, here's so-and-so and so-and-so, let's get Lundqvist out there. And really a lot of that is not necessarily about Lundqvist getting out there and getting against certain guys. It's being able to get somebody else off the ice and get a rest.
Yeah.
Whether it's Tanev or it's Essa, it's Miro, you know, so because again, if Miro's going to have to play 28 minutes all the way to the end, and you know, and especially when you get on the road and they're going to get matchups like that, and they start to target that guy and get a little more heavy on him, more physical play, you know, it wears on you physically and it can wear on you mentally, and it'll wear down after that, you know, game five, game six, game seven stuff. You know, you get into the second round and in the third round, and then you get into the finals. And, you know, because typically teams, I don't know, I'm sure there's some kind of stat, but if you can get a round that you can get through, ideally in four, but if you can get out of a round in five games and get 3-4 days of rest where your opponent is, you know, going to game six or game seven, it's an advantage and it'll pay off when you get, you know, at the end of the road. So, you know, like I said, ideally you don't want to have to play 6-7 games in every single round, and because health is important for your top guys.
Yeah. I don't understand why they just wouldn't throw Derek Pouliot in then, because, you know, he played a little bit this year for the Stars. He has NHL experience, and give him 7-8 minutes. So at least you're giving some rest. I mean, I just don't understand the Nils line. If you don't want to play him, then don't play him. But why is he on the, I mean, Gavin Bayreuther's down for the Texas Stars. He has NHL experience. Like, these are bigger guys. And if it's a size issue and if it's a confidence issue, then just throw Pouliot out there and just see what can happen.
Yeah. But then you're going to, you know, again, if they've got some NHL experience, do they have NHL playoff experience at this level? I mean, right now, are you kind of going, man, I wish we'd have kept Hanley?
Oh my goodness. Yes. I mean, they all
hindsight's
2020,
right? So that, I mean, that you can't really go down that road, but I'm just saying, you know, to take a young guy, but again, it's about playing, having to play on the road. You're going to bring one of them guys in and play him on the road and let them get their, you know, they're going to know who they're playing against. You know, they've got scouts. They know the weaknesses and strengths of people. So, you know, and maybe that's the philosophy of Dallas, you know, especially in this round right now. We've only got one more road game. That's all we got in this round, right? And so let's get Nils in there. We get a little, maybe Miro only plays 26 minutes, 25 and a half minutes. Maybe Tanev only has to play 19 and then you get that rest, and then you're going to have to, you win the game tomorrow night and then you pour it all into game six, because you never want, if you don't have to play game, yes, if you got to play game seven, good news is Dallas has got it at home. I mean, again, it hasn't been good news in this series, but you'd prefer to play it at home than on the road. But ideally, you never want to play a game seven if you don't have to, because you just never know. There's that bounce. There's that one that should have been saved. There's somebody that was standing wide open and shanked it. You know, there's all those little things that seem to come into play in game sevens.
Will Craig Ludwig be at the game tomorrow night?
No.
Okay.
I'm on the ice until six.
Okay.
And I was at the first game and it didn't go well. I did not go to the second game. It didn't go well. And I sat and watched the last two games, and I'm going to continue to do it that way.
Man, we should have went to, we
I'm a little to, superstitious every once
went
in a while.
To, yeah. We should have went to Vegas together. You and I hitting the streets.
No, not, it wouldn't have happened.
You playing my wingman. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, not happening.
This is real, folks. You think this is a bit. This is real. So, good to talk to you, my best friend.
Yeah, I know.
But seriously, thank you for your insight.
It's always a slice, as I said. I'm always looking forward to the next time.
Yes, you are, my friend. And thank you for your insight. That was super cool. We were thinking of you, and Spits and Suds listeners were saying on Twitter, you know, they're doing what Craig says. And I think that's awesome. So thank you for your insight.
Well, Craig, Coach, also says, let's have a Dallas Stars watching party.
No, I know. I'm waiting for what Friday's game time is going to be.
Why do you have to, don't you have to promote these kind of things? Does it matter if you had, the game is not going to start before 5:00.
No.
So have your watching party at 6:00. And if the game starts at 8:30 or 9:30, all the better.
Well, you said you just wanted 10 listeners, right? That's what you wanted. So we'll get 10 listeners.
Yeah, I can't do it Friday. I got a thing to do.
Oh, we go.
Well, I took that because I knew you'd never have anything done. Oh. We talked about this for 3 years now.
All right.
Yep.
For Craig Ludwig, I'm Gavin Spittle. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Spits and Suds. We'll have another edition of Spits and Suds coming up soon. We'll, of course, be with you after the game on Wednesday night right here on The Fan. Have a great day, everyone.
Dallas wins 4-2.
There you go.
Dallas wins 4-2 tomorrow.
There's the prediction. Dallas 4. Are you saying then they go to Vegas and win, or are we coming back for a game 7?
I didn't say anything. I just said what Dallas is doing tomorrow.
Craig's prediction, Dallas 4. Vegas 2. I like it. We'll talk to you soon on Spits and Suds.